and what a blessing it was. Then also, I hope the Lord has worked in your heart too. Amen. And I not only has the Lord worked in my heart, he's worked in my belly. Amen. Yeah, I think I've gained a couple pounds just eating her bread. Amen. And I love that homemade bread. Amen. That's it's been good. Amen. Thank you so much. And of course, I've enjoyed just meeting all of you, you know, first time and get to know you. And now, and I want to tell you this, years ago, oh, it's probably been over 40 plus years ago, I was at a church. Has anybody ever heard of Dr. Curtis Hudson? Yeah, okay, Dr. Curtis Hudson. He was my pastor. You know, I was called to preach under Dr. Curtis Hudson, and he was, that's where my wife and I, first wife and I, got married at. And of course, if you're new here tonight, you had, wasn't here Sunday, when I say my first wife, I better correct that, she's in heaven now. And she had passed away with cancer. We married 28 years. But Dr. Curtis Hudson, I was there at Forest Hills probably a good 7-8 years. I was on staff there. I was, you know, had a bus route. We had the largest bus. Well, listen to this. On one Sunday, we had 400 and some on our bus route. Now figure that one out. Amen. Now, they did give me another two extra buses, amen, but that still wasn't legal, amen. And we run way over 100 on buses, 66 passenger bus, and we were packed, and we were, but anyway, it ended up that, to make a long story short, Dr. Curtis Hudson was my pastor, but every year, we had Jack Hiles and John O. Rice come. They would come and speak at our church. And Brother Hiles got up. Dr. Hiles got up one night, and he said, and of course, Forest Hills Auditorium was 2,500 seat auditorium. And he got up and he said, "If you love America, stand up. Stand up." Well, everybody stood up. You know, just back in the 70s and or the 80s, everybody stood up. He said, "Now, if you don't have a preacher's prayer list, sit down." And just about everybody sat down. And Brother Hiles said, "I thought you loved America." And boy, that convicted me so much that that night, preacher, I went home. That's been over 40 years ago. And I went home that night and started a preacher's prayer list. Every Tuesday morning, like clockwork, I pray for hundreds of preachers across America. And on Wednesdays, I pray for missionaries. On Thursday, I pray for layman people. You know, just names of layman people. But every Tuesday I have for years and years and years. And your preacher's on there. Now, ever since we met for the first time at Brother Perry's down in San Antonio there, I immediately went to my room and put his name down on my preacher's prayer list. I pray for your family. So I've been praying for y'all before I even got here. And now that, you know, I've met you, I'm going to really pray for you. Amen, amen. And because it's so funny, I can pray and faces pop up, you know, people I met at that church. And, brother, I promise I won't forget your face. Amen. I just kid, baby. Amen. And I, you know, but names, you know, faces pop up now that I've met you. And I promise you, every Tuesday morning, preacher, I'll pray for you, and already am, but I mean, pray for this church. And so I already felt close to you before I got here, you know. And now that I met you, it means more. It means more. And so so I'm so glad that I got to meet y'all, and I just feel like we're family now. We're family, and as long as you keep feeding me bread and stuff, amen. And I already told my wife, you got to learn how to make this bread, amen. But praise the Lord, and it's been good. And then on top of that, I love you, preacher. I love you, preacher. Boy, I tell you, I feel like he and I could just sit and talk all day. That's why we sit there and his truck was running for an hour. I just sit out there and enjoyed talking to him and just, you know, sharing with him. A preacher, a pastor needs a friend, you know, too. Amen. It's hard sometimes for a pastor to get too close sometimes to people and become friend, you know, just friends with certain people in a church. He can't do that. It's got to be, you know, he has to love everybody. Amen. He's got to be friends with everybody. But sometimes a pastor just needs a friend. And I've pastored, so I know what pastoring is. And I understand. Nobody, now don't take this wrong, but nobody understands a pastor like another pastor does, you know. And it just means something when you sit and chat and talk, and you know what it is to love people, you know, love your people, and encourage them, be a blessing to them. But anyway, thank you for the beautiful place. And I've already told preacher I want the blueprints of that place there, amen. And I have a little place back in North Carolina, and it was my mom and dad's place. And I'd like to fix it up for missionaries and pastors, you know, and people, Christian folks, to be a blessing to them. Y'all are just, this is a great church, and I thank God for it. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go, I know because of time, Luke chapter 10. The preacher's already hurt my feelings saying I've talked too much. But anyway, Luke chapter 10, amen. But the problem is I'm from North Carolina. It takes longer to get out, amen. When I start preaching, you know, I drag a little bit, but I get going. Amen. You just got to hang in there with me. What a blessing there. And Luke chapter 10, I want, and what I'm going to do the next two nights is going to be very interesting. The next two nights, and we're going to read here about the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, in Luke chapter 10. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down, okay? I'm going to break it down into, we'll probably read about three or four verses tonight. I'll be dissecting one of those verses, and I'm going to give you part one tonight, and tomorrow night it'll be part two. You say, well, why do you do that? So you'll come back. No, I just kidding. Amen. Because tomorrow night, you know, I'll kind of put the icing on this sermon, and I'll describe it to you when I'm done preaching here. But we're gonna read all the story of the Good Samaritan there. We're gonna read all the story of the Good Samaritan. But we're only going to be preaching tonight. I'll only be preaching from verse 30 to verse 33. Okay, verse 30 verse 33. Okay, But and then tomorrow night I'll finish describing and preaching on 34 through verse 37. All right. So let's stand out of respect to the word of God tonight in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Father, thank you so much now for the privilege to preach tonight. There's not a place in the whole wide world that I'd rather be than right here tonight, because this is where you have me, and this is where you want me, God, and this is, you want me to bring the message tonight. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to fill me. I've already prayed for the filling and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, would you please, please tonight keep ears open, keep our hearts open, keep minds open, Lord, that there'd be no distractions and that they would be totally focused on the Word of God. Now, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. And I promise you, whatever's done tonight, I'll do like I've already done, Lord. I'll go back and find that spot and get on my face and give God all the glory, because you deserve every bit of it. In your precious, holy, wonderful, magnificent name, Jesus, amen and amen. You may be seated there. Verse 30, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to dissect verse 30, and I'm going somewhere with this, and I really need you tonight to stay on the tailgate with me. Amen. You say, what do you mean a tailgate? Well, you know, we worked in the back of fields and fields. We worked hard growing up, you know, in fields and all that. And a lot of times at the end of the day, my dad had that old pickup truck, you know, and he at the end of the field there, and we'd walk back to the field, through the field back to the truck. And sometimes in the afternoon or maybe at lunch or whatever, my daddy had that tailgate pulled down, and he said, son, get up there on the tailgate. Let's have a talk. And by the way, sometimes it was good. Amen. But sometimes it wasn't so good. Amen. I didn't really want to hear it. Amen. And every once in a while, I'd drift off a little bit, and they'd say, hey, you get back up here. He said, get back up here, and you listen to me. Listen to me. And or either I'd start slipping off the tailgate, and he'd say, hey, get back up here. I want to talk to you. Listen to me, you know. Well, tonight, we're gonna have a talk, amen, as a church. And I'm gonna, and by the way, some of you are gonna try to slip off the tailgate tonight, amen. And when you do, I'm going to say, hey, get back up here. Amen. Get back up on this tailgate here tonight. Get back up here because I want you to hear this. Amen. So the first thing I would like to talk to you about tonight is verse 30. If you know, and by the way, all these years I had preached this so many times, preacher, the prodigal son. I mean, the Good Samaritan. I had preached the Good Samaritan, and. I didn't pay much attention to this verse. It was more where the Good Samaritan rescued him. You know, I preached more from that. But tonight, but then God showed me some. Because God puts every verse in the Bible for a reason. Can I have amen? God makes no mistakes. And everything he puts in his word, He wants us to see it and understand, read it, amen? So in verse 30, look what the Bible said. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now notice there's a comma there, okay? Notice the abbreviation there. Does everybody see that? All right, let's pause. So when we see those, we're going to pause and discuss that, okay? Now, I don't know if you've learned this in Sunday school or preachers taught this or you've seen it somewhere, but if you study that, the Bible says that he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, okay? Now, Jerusalem means a place of blessing. That's what Jerusalem means. Jericho means a cursed place. That's the meaning of those both of those city, you know, areas. That is one Jericho's a cursed place. Jericho's a place of blessing. And notice that he said that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Very interesting. Very interesting. Why would God say went down? Went down. Let me give you an illustration. If I say I'm going to Texas, I'm going to tell you I'm going down to Texas, right? If I'm going down, geographically, Texas to me is down. You know what I'm saying? Geographically, if I'm in North Carolina and say I'm going to Florida, I'm going down to Florida. Okay? All right? Well, it's interesting because Jericho is not down below Jerusalem. Jericho's above Jerusalem. Now, you say, well, God made a mistake. No, God makes no mistakes. Can I have amen? Amen? God had a reason he put that down in there. Now, so I want to point out just a couple things on this, okay? Anytime that you are leaving the place of blessing that God has prepared for you, and you go down to the place God didn't prepare for you, you're going down. You're going down. You know how you're going down? Spiritually, emotionally, physically, and socially. Can I have amen? So you're going down. You're going to go down. If you ever look, God has prepared a place for you where the blessings are. Amen. And so what is this? What is this? I believe God's trying to show us here in this verse is the way the world really is today. The way the world really is. See, what I'm going to do tonight, okay, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to show you what the world's really like. Because the problem in our churches today is that we come in our church and we sing our good songs, amen, and we say amen, and we're happy, and that's the way you should be, amen. But you know what? But then we walk out the door and don't notice one thing out there. Why we're meeting here is to get our hearts stirred to go into a lost and dying world that's going to hell. Because everybody with me? That's in a mess. This world's in a mess. I said, this world's in a mess. And so we're so caught up in our own cares and our own needs that we forget what. So what I'm going to do tonight is kick your walls out. Can I have amen? And I'm going to take your blinders off tonight, and I'm going to show you what the world's really like tonight. Amen? Because until you see what really the need needs to be, you're not going to do anything about it. You're not going to do anything about it. You're just going to be the same person when you walked in and when you walk out that you were when you walked in. Can I have amen? And so with that being said, this verse to me is a perfect picture of the fall of man. The fall of man. Listen, God prepared a perfect place of blessing for Adam. Can I have amen? God had a perfect place for man. He had a perfect, there was no sin there. There was no diseases, no death, nothing. Everything was perfect. But because of the fall of man, amen, that because of that, now we live in a cursed world. Do you understand what I'm saying? This world's cursed. Hey, don't get too settled here. Amen. This home is not your home. Amen. You're just a passing through. But this world's cursed, buddy. I'm telling you, you're talking about it, man. And by the way, if you don't believe me, he's going to build a new one. Can I have amen? Matter of fact, I think he's already building it. And he's going to break it down one day. Amen. Hey, boy, you're talking about prefab home. Can I have amen? Amen, already built and dropping it right on your lot. Can I have amen? Hey, but let me tell you something. This world's cursed tonight. And that's why it's in such a mess. Amen. That's why have you ever dreamed you see what you see? Folks, I mean, whoever dreamed, I mean, I never dreamed the things that as a boy, as a country boy, raised in country, you know, we never locked our doors. We never locked our doors. We never locked. You didn't have to do any of that stuff and everything. But we live in such. I mean, look at the weird stuff's going on today. I mean, who ever dreamed you'd walk in a bank with a mask on and ask for money? Can I have amen? I mean, I walk in my bank sometimes and they want you to wear a mask. And now I walk in there with a mask on and I always walk in there, give me all you got. Amen. And they said, preacher, we know that's you. Amen. And notice I didn't say, give me all I got. Amen. I said, give me all you got. Amen. Hey, in North Carolina, our governor put us on curfew. We had to be in by 10 o'clock. I mean, it's like you thought it comes out at 10. Amen. The code, ooh, you know. It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Hey, nobody listened to it. But anyway, but what I'm trying to say is this world's cursed. And I'm trying to get you to look at it tonight, and I want you to see this verse, because we can't fix a problem till we see the problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't fix a problem till you see the problem. Now look what in verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. To me, that's a perfect picture of the fall of man. You understand what I'm saying? Leave a place of blessing and go to a cursed place. Now, look at the next part. And fell among what? Now stop there just a minute. If you see that word thieves, it didn't say thief. It wasn't just one thief. Can I have amen? It wasn't just one thief. It was more than one. It's plural. That's more than one. Can I have amen? Now, you know what? There's more than one thief out there tonight. Did you know there's not just a devil, there's demons. I said there's demons. There's a demon of alcohol. There's a demon of lust. There's a demon of divorce. There's a demon of pride, greed. There's a demon of homosexuality. There's a demon of adultery. And let me tell you something. Those demons are giving it everything they got. They're giving, and that's why our world's in a mess, amen? It's in a mess because there are thieves everywhere, and they're robbing, and they're stealing, and they're taking everything because they're liars, amen? They're thieves. They're not just, and that's what's going on. Listen, don't get back up on this tailgate tonight, amen? And listen to me, folks. I'm telling you, I'm trying to take your blinders off tonight because you're not going to do anything about it till you really see it. And what's going on tonight is a mess. It's wicked. It's vile. I mean, and demons are, there's so many. I mean, the demon of porn, the demon of just robbing and stealing and messing people's lives up. Can I have amen? And by the way, it's so available to our generation today. Through a phone. Is everybody hear me? And it has literally changed the thinking of America, and it's wrecking it. Why? Because they're stealing everything they can. Now look at this next part of this verse. Which stripped them, there's thieves which stripped him of his what? His raiment, you know what I'm saying? And he's stealing everything. He's stealing everything he can. Amen. They're stealing. Now notice, it says raiment. That's talking about clothing. But I tell you what, Brother Josh, come here just a minute. I didn't mean to wake you up, but come here just a minute. All right, I want you to put this coat on, amen? Let's see if it fits perfect, amen? All right, put that coat on there, all right? There you go. Oh, it fits perfect, amen? Perfect, amen? Look at that, all right? And now, Josh, here's what happened is that there's demons out there, and they're literally, you know what they're doing? They have attacked. They are attacking everything they can. And you know what? They come along. The Bible says those thieves came along and they took him and literally beat him up. I mean, literally beat him up. Get down. Amen. And they beat him up and they whipping him. And then the Bible says they stripped this raiment off of it. They took it, literally took it off of and stripped them off of there and took everything, amen, and took his shoes and whatever, amen, and took his wallet, took everything, amen. I mean, they took, Eric, you're in the ditch, say right down there, amen, and they still, you say, what is that? I'll tell you what they did. And that's exactly what's going on today. We've got thieves. They're stealing everything. They're stealing purity. They're stealing holiness. They're stealing happiness. They're stealing joy. There's no more peace anymore on people's life because they've been stripped of everything. Stripped of everything. Amen. I'm talking about they're taking all those things off their life that they're literally leaving on. Leaving them just broken in the ditch. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I remember years ago. Amen. I remember years ago. Thank you, buddy. I remember years ago. I was a bus captain. I was a pastor up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I had a bus route. And it was cold up there, you know. And that morning, I'm driving along. What did I do with that? Put it back on. I was driving along that morning, and it was below zero. Y'all know what that is. It was below zero and snowing, and I'm riding along that bus route. And all of a sudden, I saw this lady coming down the sidewalk. I can see her right now. She's coming down the sidewalk. It was freezing. She had no coat. She had hardly nothing on. And I saw her coming down shivering. So I pulled my bus over real quick, and I opened the door, that warm bus, and I opened the door, and I said, ma'am, I said, would you like to get on this warm bus and go to a warm church and get a warm meal and also hear warm preaching that'll warm your heart? And well, she didn't smile, she didn't hardly do anything. And she got on the bus, she got in the bus there, and she sat there and didn't say a word, preacher. And she looked pitiful. Well, we get to church, and I got up there and preached, and during the invitation, that little lady come walking down the aisle that day and got saved. After church, I was in my office getting my boots on, my coat and stuff, and she knocked on the door. She had a pitcher in her hand, preacher, had this pitcher in her hand, of a beautiful girl. And she said, preacher, can I show you something? I said, yeah, let me see that. I said, oh, my. I said, she's pretty. I said, is that your daughter? She said, no, preacher, that's me. And then I made the wrong statement. I said, well, that must have been a long time ago. That must have been a while back. She said, preacher, do you know how old I am? I said, no. She said, I'm 36 years old. Preacher, she looked like she just escaped out of nursing home. She had no teeth. She had and I said, are you kidding me? She said, no, preacher. See, she was a prostitute. Her life was a mess. She had been on meth. And on drugs. Hey, you know what happened? They got a hold of her. And they stripped everything. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I did. That little lady kept coming back to church. You know what we did? We bought her a whole set of teeth. Bought a brand new set of teeth. We bought her new clothes, dress, and everything. She became one of my Sunday school teachers. But she was miserable. And that's what's out there tonight. I'm telling you. Don't you tell me those kind of people are not here. I've already seen some of them. I've already been talking to them. I was in the store today, and the preacher was getting fuel, and there was a man in there, and he you could tell liquor had him. Liquor got a hold of him. And the devil was just literally stripping his joy. He was stripping his happiness. He strips everything you got. Amen. He'll take it all from you. He doesn't care. And that's what's going on out there tonight. I'm telling you, let's push the walls out tonight and see what's really going on outside this church. I'm talking about right around this church, there's people that thieves have stripped them of everything. Everything. Now look at the next part. Stripped him of raiment. And what's the next part say? Wounded him. Folks, there's a lot of wounded people. I'm trying to slow you down a little bit tonight. And let's see what the world's really like. Okay? Because you get caught up in your own problems. You get caught up in your own business and things you're trying to take care for yourself. I'm trying to get your eyes off yourself tonight and see what the world's really like. And it says, and wounded him. Years ago, when I was pastoring, one night one of our young girls came and knocked on my door. One of our teen girls came and knocked on my office door after church and said, preacher, and she couldn't even look at me. She just held her head down. And I said, her name was Abby. And I said, Abby, can I help you? And she said, Preacher, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? And I said, sure. I said, let me go get my wife, because I never talked, alone in my office with a young girl. And I went and got my wife and came in there, and I said, now, let's pray before I talk to you. I always pray. And so I started praying, and while I was praying, all of a sudden I heard this sniffling going. I heard her go, and I heard this sniffling going on while I was praying. And after I got done praying, I said, "What is that?" No sooner I got done praying, she goes, "He hurt me. He hurt me." I said, who hurt you? My daddy. Your daddy? And I won't go any further what I heard that night. But as soon as she got done telling me everything, I said, honey, it'll never happen again. I immediately reached over and grabbed that phone, and I called the police. They came to the office. And I got my pen, and she was a single lady. I called her. I said, I want you to take Abby home with her. I said, I want you to raise her, young teen girl. I looked at that girl, and I said, honey, you'll never be hurt like that again, never. Please let me take her. They said, go ahead, take her. And we took that girl, and by the way, she graduated out of our Christian school, went to Jeff Fugit's college, married a preacher now. I preach for him now. There's wounded people. There's people in this church wounded. There's people sitting here tonight that's been wounded. Is everybody with me? Folks, I'm trying to tell you that it's time we get our eyes off ourselves and realize you're not going to do anything about it until you see the need. You see the need. Amen. Now look what it says here. Look what the Bible says. And wounded him and departed. And departed. Do you know what that means? That means left alone. He was left alone. Folks, I can't tell you, brother, I can't tell you how many people that I meet thousands of people all over the world. I've been in 15 different countries. I've been all over America. And you know what? Can I tell y'all something? It doesn't matter. They may have different cultures. They may have different languages, but they all have the same problems, the same sin. Divorce here is divorce somewhere else. Adultery here is the same thing somewhere else. Sin is sin no matter where you go. Can I have amen? And brokenness is the same. But he's left alone. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. The hardest thing, I believe, to go through is loneliness. Amen, brother? That man knows what loneliness is. I know what loneliness is. I traveled America. I'd preach. Listen to this. After my wife died, I preached all over. I preached in 68 churches the year after my wife died. 68, figure that up, 52 weeks. I don't know if I was just doing it, because I was hurting so bad. But I go to churches, and I went to one church, we saw over 200 people walk down and were saved. Over 200 people walked down and were saved that morning. You know what I did? I went back to my room and cried. I was happy they got saved, but I had nobody to share that with. Where, but used to, I could tell them, hey, somebody got saved. This, I'd go to empty rooms and sleep alone, pray alone, drive alone, eat alone. Is everybody with me? I remember every year I go to a football camp. It's a Christian football camp. I love football. I love the broken noses and broken bones and the blood and everything, as long as it's not mine. Amen. And I go to a Christian football camp. So it's good. I mean, they have preaching three times a day there. You got these boys come there full of pride, and then they get flattened on the field. They listen to preaching better. Can I have amen? And it's really neat when one gets flattened, you get to stand over, and you get to say, how did that feel? Oh, that hurt, priest, that hurt, coach. And I say, now what are you going to do about it? And he said, I'm going to get back up. I said, that's the way life is. Sometimes you're going to get flattened, buddy. But you got to get back up. Amen. Teach them character. Teach them to tell you how to listen to coach. How to listen to your pastor. How to listen to your mom and dad. Amen. We teach them principles all week. But anyway, at the end of the week, we have a Super Bowl. We have a Super Bowl game on Friday night. This year I went, and no, the one of the rules is no mamas are allowed. No mamas are allowed. Because we don't want to see how their little billies and little juniors are getting beat up, you know what I'm saying, or hit on the field and, you know, and things like that. Because you said, why'd they start that football camp? Because we got a generation, bunch of mama's boys. And if we're going to get America back, we're going to have men that will do what's right. Amen. But the last night, they can come and see the big game and stuff. They can come and watch it, you know. And, of course, all them coaches, a lot of them are preachers and used to play football and all that. And they've been around 300 stinking boys all week long. I mean, I'm not kidding. It takes them a month to fumigate their church building. And so the last night, you know, all the wives get to come. And, of course, them men are glad to see their wives. They're so, and I remember my wife, I was so glad to see her. Well, the year after my wife died, I was there, and, you know, we have a trophy time at the end where they give trophies and awards out, and then we leave. We say our goodbyes and leave. Well, this year after my wife died, I'll never forget standing there, preacher, and looking around and seeing all these men with their wives, and they're sitting there with their arms around each other and, you know, their families together. And I'm standing back of that big gym. It's packed full. And I'm standing there by myself. I felt like I was the only one in that room. I couldn't take it no more. Finally, instead of saying goodbye to everybody, I slipped out of the back door, got my car, and drove back to the motel alone. I'll never forget when I walked in that room. I walked in that room by myself, preacher. And I literally fell on the floor by my bed and just said, Lord. And for about 10 minutes, I just cried and prayed. And all of a sudden, after about 10 minutes, I felt like these big old arms came out of the sky and hugged me. And I felt God in that room, that he was with me. But wait a minute. What are they going to do? They don't have that. They don't have God. They don't have God. What are they going to turn to? Amen. What are they going to turn to? There's nobody there. Hey, they're alone. They have no God. Amen. They have nothing to turn to but liquor, alcohol, suicide, pills, and they're in a mess. Is everybody with me? And that's what's going on out there tonight. That's I guarantee you, but you're not going to see it till you see it. Amen? You're not going to do it. And then listen to the next part. Listen to the next part of that verse. leaving what? Him what? Half dead. Now, listen to me. You know what that means? He's half alive. Boy, don't you wish you were smart as me. Amen. No, that means he's not fully living his life to the fullest. Can I have amen? He's just breathing. He's just existing. That's all he is. He's not accomplishing anything. He's not accomplishing anything with his life. All he's doing is just breathing. That's the way a lot of world is now. They're just living. That's it. They're just breathing. They don't even know what they're going to do tomorrow. They don't know how they're going to make. They're not accomplishing one thing with their life. Amen. They're not accomplishing anything. All they're doing is existing, breathing. There's people out there like that. I know. I faced somebody this week. Josh and I, Skyler, he's a man, they look like a loan. You know what I'm saying? He's alone. He's by himself. He didn't, you know. Thank God he got saved. Amen. Thank God he came to the Lord. But, you know, there's how many more people out there that you're just living day to day just trying to exist? Is everybody with me? That's what this one verse is describing, what the world's like. Can I have amen? Now let me go somewhere with this real quick. I want to wrap it up because we're going to finish it up tomorrow night. But so go to verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now notice that word priest, okay? All right, notice that word priest. And I just, you know, I just say, do you notice the first letter? A P. Amen. I call this a preacher. I call this a preacher. This preacher come by, walking by, here's a guy laying in the ditch, beat up, blood, amen, and stripped of all his clothes, you know, everything, and everything, and he's wounded and hurt, and this preacher walks by, and the Bible, I can see him that day, look down and say, oh, I don't want that guy in my church. I don't want him in my church. He stinks. He's useless. He can't tithe. I don't want him in my church. I don't want that guy. And so what did the Bible say? He passed on by. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of preachers out there like that. Buddy, there's a lot of preachers. And I'm going to tell you something. Preacher, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear a preacher preach that don't go out and try to reach somebody for Christ. I would not. Hey, I'm telling you, I wouldn't go across the street to hear him preach. You know what? I have preachers tell me all over America, Brother Brian, you're the only evangelist that we have come that goes soul winning. Are you kidding me? What's an evangelist supposed to be doing? Can I have amen? Hey, we're to be evangelizing, amen. We're to be, hey, and I would, and so this preacher didn't care. So I just say that's a backslidden preacher right there. Can I have amen? Thank God you got a preacher who cares about people. Thank God you got a preacher who goes visit people, wins people, amen, tells people the gospel. Thank God for that, because you can't find them everywhere. I promise you that. Now look at the next verse, verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now notice that first letter, L. Y'all believe I know, you know where I'm going with this, amen. I just call that a backslidden layman. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Amen. It is not only the preacher's responsibility to go reach people. It is your responsibility. I said it is your responsibility. You see people all the time that are broken. Can I have amen? You meet up with them in a grocery store, at the gas fuel station, amen? You, wherever you're at, you're going to cross people's paths, amen? And I'm going to tell you something. It's just as important for the layman to be winning souls as it is the preacher. Everybody ought to be passing out gospel tracts, amen? Everybody ought to be passing out gospel tracts. Hey, I'm telling you, God will bless you like you've never been blessed when you start getting the gospel out. Amen? And start passing the gospel out and getting it out. Hey, there's people broken, bro, that you can reach I can't reach. You can reach people I can't reach. You go to them where I don't go. Amen? But I go to people you don't go to. And if everybody will go where the other one's not going, you can get a lot done. Can I have amen? You can get a lot done. So then, look in verse 33, the last verse tonight. And I want you to, God makes no mistakes in the Bible. Can I have amen? God makes none. I want you to look at the order God put in this verse. Are you ready? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, okay, by the way, that Samaritan begins with an S. So that's a soul winner. Can I have amen? I wish y'all knew Greek like I did. Amen. The only Greek I know is that little restaurant on the corner. Amen. But listen, but a certain Samaritan, look here, came as he journeyed. By the way, soul winning is a journey. Amen. You want to have fun, you go soul winning. It's a journey. But look at this. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. Now, I want you to notice here, there's three things I want you to see here. First of all, he came where he what? Was. Stop there. He came where he was. All right? No, the guy in the ditch didn't come where he was. Can I have amen? He went where he was. Okay, there's the first thing I want you to see. Now look at the second part of this verse. And when he saw him, okay, all right, is everybody with me? Then he saw him, all right? Look at the next part. He had what? Compassion on. There it is. There it is, right there. Listen to me, I go to church, and this is the problem in our churches. This is a problem. I know I go in them all over the place, and I'm going to tell you the problem. The problem is that we are waiting on them to come to us. We're waiting on. You think, well, if I put a nice sign up, if I can put a nice sign by the road, if I can advertise big time, we can get more people in and all that. Let me tell you something. You know what? You're not going. And a lot of people do this. God, give me a burden. God, give me a burden. Even people come to the altar. God, give me a burden. Well, let me tell you something. Excuse my English, but it ain't going to happen that way. Amen. I'll tell you how it's going to happen. When you go where they are, you're going to see them, and God's going to break your heart to reach them. Can I have amen? That's when it happens. As long as you sit here and think, oh, one day God's going to just shower down on me and give me a burden for soul. I remember, listen, you take a bus cap. You take a guy that brings them little brats, kids in. Can I have amen? And you take a bus captain that brings them kids in, and they're a mess. They're a mess. I mean, they come in, they put bubblegum in old lady's hair and everything. They swing from the ceiling, fly brochures across the auditorium. Amen. You know, you got a Sunday school teacher who'll go up that bus captain at the church and say, don't you bring that kid back to this church anymore. Don't you do that. And then all of a sudden that bus captain looks at him and says, Miss So-and-so, I can't do that. This morning when I went to his house, I had to crawl across his drunkard daddy laying in the middle floor. And I had to wake that little boy up and wipe his face and wash his and comb his hair, put his shoes on, find his shoes, and we had to get him on the bus. I can't do that. Why does he have compassion and she don't? I'll tell you why. Because he's been where he was. Can I have amen? Take a missionary. A missionary comes and he'll be sitting on front here or something, and he shows the video or show the picture. And many times when I pastored, I'd sit on the end of the road, and I wouldn't even hardly look at the pictures. I'd look at those missionaries while they're watching it, because I could see where their heart was. And I can't tell you how many times I'd see a missionary, that young, sweet couple that's giving their life to go to a foreign field. Might be full of Muslims, might be full of people that nobody even cares about, you know. And they're sitting there, and they're watching that video, and all of a sudden, I'll see that sweet wife or something begin to wipe her eyes or take a tissue out and begin to wipe her eyes. And I see that husband pull his sweet wife next to him tighter, and tears begin to come. You know, how don't you know he sees that hundreds of times? Don't you know he goes to mission conferences sometimes every night, amen, and showing that, and churches and everything. Don't you think they would get tired of that? No, sir. You know why they don't? Because they've been where they are, amen, and God broke their heart and gave them compassion, compassion. I'm telling you tonight, listen to me, I'm telling you, you're not going to get it till you go where they are, till you decide, I'm going to go, I'm going to knock on their door. I'm going to look them eyeball to eyeball and ask them, can I ask you a question? If you died tonight or today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And let them answer. If they say they don't want it, fine. It's their choice. Can I have amen? But you would be surprised how many people will answer you. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's been working on them. Do you really think the Holy Spirit's taking vacations? Do you really think the Holy Spirit's laying in bed? No, the Holy Spirit's already out there convicting people, working on. I was in Terre Haute, Indiana. Listen to this. I was in Terre Haute, Indiana, and Pastor and I knocked on the door. The lady came to the door. I led her to Christ. She was bawling. She said, I can't believe you're here. I said, why? She said, 2 nights ago, I had a dream I was in hell. She said, I woke up in the middle of the night screaming, scared my husband to death. And here you are 2 days later, all the way from North Carolina and Terre Haute, Indiana, knocking on my door. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that was a coincidence? Who put that dream on her mind? The Holy Spirit did. Can I have amen? And she got saved. She got so excited after she got saved. Her husband was taking a nap. She went in there, scared him to death again, and woke him up. He came in there. We led him to Christ. We baptized both of them on Sunday. Hey, I'm telling you, I don't care what the devil tells you. There's people want to be saved out there. There's people want to be saved. The problem is, you got to go where they are. You got to go where they are. He said, go ye in all the world, preach to God. He didn't say, wait on them at church. He didn't say, wait on them. He said, you go where they are. Can I have amen? Now, you go where people are every day. A lot of you go where people are every day. And if you'll just carry tracts with you. I wonder if communists came in here tonight with M16s and said, line up against the wall. If you got tracks, you're going to die. If you don't, you'll live. I wonder how many people still be living. Can I have amen? You say you believe in tracks? I sure do. I sure do. You want to give them out everywhere you go. Amen. But look, when you go where they are, you'll see them. Let me end with this. I was a bus captain there at Forest Hills, and I remember years ago. Now, tomorrow night, let me tell you this real quick. Tomorrow night, now I had to show you what the need is. tomorrow night, and by the way, compassion is no good unless you have action. Okay? So tomorrow night, I'm going to show you how to put it in action. I'm not going to just tell you have compassion and not show you how to put it in action. Amen? So you got to come back tomorrow night. Amen? Remember, don't get up. Don't have surgery and don't come back to it. Amen? Get up and leave. I'm going to show you tomorrow night about soul winning and winning people to Christ. Amen. Now, but years ago when I was a bus captain. Oh, I was in the bus ministry 36 years. I love the bus ministry. Matter of fact, if you cut my chest open, my heart be shaped like a bus. Amen. I think God loves reaching those folks. And I made a vow, and I told my wife, and by the way, we wasn't married then. My first wife wasn't married, but she was working on my bus route. And I said, okay, every Saturday when we're done with our bus route, we're done visiting and, you know, visiting all the regulars and all that. I said, we're gonna pick a street and just knock every door on that street. So we did. So this one day, we got done, and I started knocking doors. Every door I knocked on, an elderly person came to the door. Now, if you're a bus captain, you love elderly people, but you don't like seeing elderly people because they're not going to ride your bus with them bunch of kids. Can I have amen? They just don't want to get on that bus. But every house we went to was nothing but older people. And so we finally got to the last house on the street, and I told my wife, and I said, if another older lady, you know, comes to the door, I don't know. I said, I might trip her or something. I said, preacher, I don't want her. I don't want to open. I said, honey, I need some kids to ride my bus. Well, by that time, and guess who came to the door? Elderly person came to the door. Come to find out it was an all-retirement street. All retirement street. So I said, and I introduced myself and told this, this is Bonnie here. And I said, ma'am, I witnessed to her, gave him track, you know. And I said, ma'am, I said, we're trying to, you know, pick up kids for church and all that. And I'm sure you don't have any children, but you have a good day. And we turned and start walking off the porch. She said, but wait a minute. She said, I have a granddaughter here. And she said, I've been praying that God would send somebody by to pick my granddaughter up for church. And I said, oh, really? I said, what's her name? She said, her name's Michelle. I said, oh, okay. She said, but I want you to come in, and I want to talk to you first before I introduce you to Michelle. We came in, we sit down, and she said, let me tell you about Michelle. And she said, Michelle was... One day she was in the bed with her mama on a Saturday morning, and they were playing, having mother-daughter time, you know, and all that. And her daddy walked in with a 12-gauge shotgun and literally scattered her mom's brains on the wall. I mean, shot her mom. Then took the shotgun and killed himself. Didn't kill Michelle. For several hours, she didn't know what to do. She was just a little 7-8-year-old girl. She didn't know what to do. She laid in bed with her dead mom and dad. Her cousin walked in and found her. And she said, now she lives with me. She said, little Michelle is very, very shy, very, has no trust, you know, and anybody, which I could understand. She said, but I really want her to go to church. She had bad, her health wasn't good. The grandma's, she's trying to take care of this little girl. So they called, finally she went back. She said, Michelle. And Michelle came out. I'll never forget when Michelle walked out that door. Brother, she had the biggest hazel-looking eyes. She had the beautiful, you know, little hazel, big round hazel eyes. She had beautiful hair. Her hair was curly and just you know. But I'll never forget, she walked out there, and she immediately ran to her grandma and grabbed her grandma. And her grandma said, Michelle, this is Brother Craig. He's from the church. And this Miss Bonnie, they're going to come by tomorrow and take you to Sunday school. You want to go? And all of a sudden, Michelle, she dropped her head in chagrin. No, no, no. And she literally grabbed, tied her to her grandma. She didn't want to leave her grandma. And finally, she said, well, y'all come by. We'll get her to go. Well, the next morning, I pulled by there, and I'll never forget little Michelle came out there. She had a secondhand dress on, I guess got from Goodwill or something. And of course, my wife loves Goodwill. But anyway, and it had a little strawberry that was torn on that dress. And I'll never forget that she was literally clenched under her grandma's armpit, holding on to her. Finally, her grandma literally drug her to the bus. Said, honey, you got to go to church. You need to learn about Jesus. Finally, she was able to get her in the bus. She sat her on the second row, and my wife kind of blocked her in, sat beside her. As we pulled off, I'll never forget that little girl, that little Michelle, looking back at her grandma, just looking back at her, and just kept looking back at her grandma as we pulled off. She never looked up. Michelle just held her head down. And of course, Bonnie tried to, as a mother figure, tried to ease up to her and begin to talk to her, make her feel comfortable and stuff like that. We got to church that day, and Bonnie took her to her Sunday school class. And well, after church, after church, all the bus captains had to get to the buses because we had 77 bus routes. So we had a lot of bus routes, So we had to get there before they let them kids go, or it was a nightmare, So I'm on the bus waiting for the kids to come out. And all of a sudden, I look across the parking lot. Here comes Michelle with her Sunday school teacher. And she gets to the bus, and she says, Brother Brian, do you know Michelle? And she come up on the bus. And I said, oh, yeah, I know Michelle. She's my favorite. I said, she's my favorite. And she looked at me and she said, little Michelle got saved today. Boy, it was like fireworks went off in my soul. Because I knew the story behind her life, preacher. I kind of reached over, and give her a little hug, but she just, she was still not sure yet, And well, on the way home, my wife began to draw close to her, and there was something different about her now. There was something different, and so my wife became real good friends with her that day on the way home. We brought her back Sunday night. She came back with my wife to church Sunday night and got baptized. That was a big step for her. My wife took her home that afternoon, preacher, and sewed the strawberry back up on her dress. She combed her hair, washed her hair and combed it and curled it, and she was such a pretty little girl. Well, she started coming every Sunday. Now we pull up there, she skipped to the bus. She would skip to the bus. Well, years passed, and finally God called me off, and I married Bonnie. We got married, and her and I moved to Salisbury, North Carolina, and we moved there, and I started working with a church. And finally, one day, I told my pastor there, I said, Pastor, can I go back to Forest Hills and get ordained? I wasn't ordained yet. He said, absolutely. I went and back to Forest Hills and got ordained. It was on a Sunday night at church. I'll never forget when the service was over. I'm standing there in front of the communion table just like this, front of the whole church. And everybody began to file by me, shake my hand and congratulate me and all that. And all of a sudden, a beautiful young lady stepped up to me. And she said, Brother Craig, do you know who I am? And I looked. And I looked at them big hazel eyes. I said, "Are you Michelle?" She said, "I'm Michelle." Preacher, all of a sudden, she threw her arms around me and she said, I said, "Michelle, what are you doing? What are you doing now?" She said, "Brother Brian," she said, "after you left, somebody paid my whole way through the Christian school." And she said, I'm graduating this year and I'm going to Bible college. And she said, "And I'm going to be a Christian school teacher just like Miss Bonnie." And then I love this part. She said, "And I'm going to marry a good-looking preacher like you." I said, "Michelle, you are so smart." Amen. Amen. Hey, but wait a minute. It's not over. I became pastor in Michigan years later. One day I'm out in the yard there, preacher, and I got a phone call. And this pastor said, "Brother Brian, do you?" He gave me his name, told me who he was, around Mobile, Alabama area. He said, "You know who?" He said, "My name's so-and-so," and we began to talk. He said, "Brother Brian, I'd like for you to come preach for me." I said, "I'd love to." I said, I kind of questioned him and where he stood on things and everything. And finally I said, "I'd love to come." He said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Have you ever heard of a little girl by the name of Michelle, little Michelle?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "That's my wife." And he said, "She has three children now. And she's a Christian and teaches in our Christian school. And she's a wonderful pastor's wife." They flew me down there, preacher. And they honored me like a king. Amen. Like a king. And I went down there. But I'm telling you, but when I saw what God has done in their life, I'm telling you, I wonder how many more Michelles are out there. I wonder how many more people that are broken, they're wounded, and they're just waiting on somebody. "Hi, my name's so-and-so. I'm from Mountain View Baptist Church. Can I ask you a question? Who's out there? Can I have amen? Who's out there? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Can I have amen?" Every head bowed. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Would you stand to your feet tonight? I think tonight I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask the pianist to come to piano. When Miss First begins to play the piano, I would say tonight, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart." Would you slip your hand up? You know what he spoke to your heart about. The Holy Spirit's tapping you on the heart tonight. Let me tell you something, folks. I know you can pray from that chair, but I don't know how in the world you can't move to an old-fashioned altar and humble yourself and say, "God, here I am. Use me. Use me to bring somebody's broken. Would you humble yourself tonight and come to an old-fashioned altar and say, "God, use me. Use me to bring somebody." You know what? Mitchell, I'm not sure, would get saved unless somebody went to him. Can I have amen? How about you tonight? Would you come to this altar tonight and say, "God, break my heart. Humble my heart. Give me compassion, Lord. Even though Lord, some of you got loved ones need to be saved, don't you? Some of you got loved ones that probably need the Lord. When's the last time you were broken for them? When's the last time? Would you come to this altar tonight as the pianist begins to play? Would you come right now? Maybe you say, well, preacher, I can't kneel. My health or back or knees. Well, maybe you could just make your way to this front row and sit on this chair up front. Let's make an effort. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm getting older, getting more feeble. But here I am, Lord. Use me as long as I'm on this earth.